But tonight I wanted to talk about what children owe their parents. And one of the places that I want to start is to go back to the Old Testament. And so if you turn with me back to Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments. Several people were making fun of my artwork before services began tonight, but that's what that's supposed to be on the board tonight. We want to talk particularly tonight about the fifth of the Ten Commandments. We find over in Exodus 20 and verse 12, God had told the children of Israel through Moses, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And so one of the Ten Commandments, one of the Decalogue or the principles that were to guide the children of Israel, involved this idea of the necessity of children honoring their parents, and it points out that there was a benefit to be connected with that. And as I suggested to you last night, all through this series of lessons, one of the things that I want to do is to show the benefit of doing what God tells us to do, and use the establishment of those benefits to draw out and to build up our faith in what God has to say. I want us to have confidence that doing God's word, doing God's law, is the best thing for us. You know, we can really commit ourselves to doing things when we understand and appreciate that it's best for us. Over in the New Testament, we find some more written about children and their parents in the Ephesian letter in the 6th chapter and the first 3 verses. There it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then verse 2 quotes from the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments and says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise." And again makes the point that there is a connection to be made between doing God's law and some benefit that is to accrue to us. It is the first of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it. And that promise back in the Old Testament was that you may live long in the land which God will give you. And then in verse 3, it goes ahead and finishes that and says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There is another passage that makes the same general point. That'll be the last one we'll look at here in the beginning, in Colossians 3 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul is again writing, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." In all things. Again, we discussed a little bit last night in terms of the obedience of wives to their husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, it said, "In all things as to the Lord." Here was children. Children are told to obey their parents in the Lord, in the one passage. And here it says, "In all things." Gives us some idea of the breadth of that command. Our homes and families are in trouble, not only in this nation, but in the church, not only because of divorce, which we talked about last night, not only because of single parenting and parental failure, but also because many children fail to understand their place in the home and their role in the family. You know, too often we're trying to grow up too fast, and we just can't wait till we get this old and that old. I remember I couldn't wait till I was 16 years old so I could drive a car. And then I couldn't wait to be 18 because I thought there was going to be a lot of respect come to me then. That didn't work. Wanted to be 21 years old and then I'd be officially a man, and I looked forward to that, and nothing really seemed to happen there either. Then I thought, when I'm 24 or 25, that'll be it. When I got there, nothing happened there either. And then I thought about 30, and I reached 30 and I quit playing that game. Sometimes we try to grow up too fast and we don't understand what we owe our parents and why God is telling us that we owe that. And we're going to try to look at some of those things tonight. Children that heed God's word, that is, children that do what God commands them, are obedient to their parents and do honor their parents, can make the difference in families that are otherwise under assault. Every now and then you see moms and dads that can't seem to handle their end of the family, but there are some young people in that family that do what they're supposed to do, and sometimes they can make the difference in families like that. We very seldom look at that fact. Our effort tonight is going to be to do three different things. We want to declare and to show what God's will is for children in the home and in the family. Secondly, we want to try to establish and show the wisdom and the far-reaching effect of doing what God says. I want us to see tonight that children doing what God tells them is not a matter of simply doing it because God said so, though that ought to be good enough. It is not a matter of just showing deference and respect to our parents, though that ought to be enough. But there are some of the most far-reaching implications in this world in our obedience or disobedience to that command. We're going to try to show that tonight. And finally, we're going to try to seek and to establish faith in God's way as the only right way for children to behave, whether they be children still in the home or children that are out on their own. We're going to show that this command to honor our father and mother is not something that ends at 15 or 18 or 21 or 50. This command is something that goes on a lifetime, and there is a reason behind that. One thing I'm not going to try to do tonight, for those of you especially that are young that are here tonight, I'm not going to try to convince you that being obedient to your parents is always an easy thing to do, because I know better than that. It doesn't matter how good a parents we have, no matter how righteous and how much they love us, there come times when it is difficult to obey our parents. When we begin to grow up and mature and begin to want to do things on our own and want to be our own person, which is a natural part of growing up, there are times when it is very difficult to do what mom and dad say. And sometimes we think we know better than what mom and dad know. And sometimes that might even be the case. Not very often, but might be the case occasionally. And so sometimes it is very difficult to obey our parents. So I'm not going to make the argument that it's easy. But I am going to make the argument that it is going to be easier to obey our parents in the long run, even in this world, than not to obey them. That there is something harder to face in this world than what our parents tell us to do, even if they're mistaken, even if they're not everything they ought to be. There are ramifications, long-reaching, far-reaching ramifications to not obeying our parents that go way beyond the here and now and the commands to pick up your room and get in by 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever they tell you to do. The ramifications go way beyond that. And so you owe your parents something, and in the long run, it will pay dividends to you. What you invest in obeying your parents will come back to be a blessing to you. Now, I said we were going to do this based on our beginning with the fifth commandment, fifth of the Ten Commandments. When you look at God's Ten Commandments, basically they address man's responsibility to God on the one hand, and they reflect man's responsibility to other men on the other hand. In the first four commandments, God says, "You will have no other gods before me. I am it. I am the only God," he says in the first commandment. He says in the second commandment, "You're to have no graven images. I'm not that kind of God. I am a spirit, and you're not to make things that are made out of hands because those can't represent God." The third commandment is not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, to misuse the name of God. You see how all three of those apply to God. And then the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath day. He said under the Old Testament legislation that the seventh day is my day, God's day, the day to worship God. All four of these first commandments are very focused on man's responsibility to serve God and his responsibilities toward God. I'm going to skip the fifth one just for a minute, which is the one we're looking at tonight. But in the last five commandments, as represented on the right-hand side of the board here tonight, God says, you shall not murder. He says, you shall not commit adultery. He says, you shall not steal. He says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And lastly, he says, you will not covet your neighbor's wife or any of your neighbor's possessions. Notice how all of these commandments reflect how we're to behave toward our fellow man. And the first four over here, how we're to deal and act toward God. And that kind of leaves number five here. And I want to suggest to you this evening that number five, the commandment that children are to honor your parents, is the commandment that links this with this. Think about that a little bit. Children need to honor their parents because parents are the link between God and their children. It is through understanding how to obey our parents that we understand how to obey God. The position of the fifth commandment is transitory between those commandments dealing with God and those dealing with other men. The first four deal with the object and manner of worship, and I would consider the fifth one, the one to honor our parents, as being the nursery school of worship. If children cannot understand, cannot come to learn to obey their parents, to honor their parents, then I suggest to you that very few of those children are going to learn how to honor God and therefore worship Him, or to learn how to obey God. Children that are in rebellion against their parents, who are right there in the home providing for them every day. Everything from changing their diapers when they're messy to providing for them clothes and so forth to go to school when they're older. Taking care of every need. If children can't learn to understand, to obey those people who are intimate with them every day and providing every one of their needs, if they can't learn to honor them and obey them, what are the chances that they're going to be able to learn to honor and to obey a God in heaven whom they can't see? So I believe that fifth commandment is the transitory one, the one that connects our relationship with God with our relationship with man. Through obedience to this fifth commandment, as it is repeated in the New Testament, children are taught the how of worshiping God. You see, the worship that we offer to God on the Lord's Day, what we're going to come together primarily for tomorrow, for what we call worship, is to give honor and glory and allegiance to the God of heaven. We're going to sing songs of praise to Him. We're going to let everybody in the sound of our voice know how much we honor and respect the God of heaven. We're going to come in here and we're going to do some things that God has told us to do. We're going to pray to Him. We're going to acknowledge Him as more powerful and more knowing than we are. We're going to pray to Him to help us out. We're going to give of our means and we're going to study His Word. And we're going to try to imitate Him through that. And I want to suggest to you that every one of those things that we do in worshiping God, the place that we learn the fundamentals of that is in the home as we give honor and respect to our parents. Let's examine the fifth commandment a little bit further. The honor that we are to give our parents is not based on the merit of our parents. Some of you might be sitting there in the audience, whether you're young or old, and you're thinking, well, I don't know whether my parents deserve that or not. And there might be some of you here, and I sort of suspect there are, that have had some parents. Maybe some of you have parents that really don't seem to merit the kind of honor that we're talking about tonight. But I want to suggest to you that God's law says that we're to honor our father and mother, and it says nothing about whether they deserve it or not. It It is based on the parents' role as stewards or representatives of God. When we talk about parents tomorrow, I hope we keep that in mind. Sometimes we do not take seriously enough our role as parents to understand that God has given us a blessing in our children, and He has given us responsibility to raise those children as He wants them to be raised. He's put that responsibility on us as parents. And whether we do an admirable job of it or whether we do a poor job of it, the Bible says that children ought to honor their parents because of that. Let's look at a number of passages that deal with this concept. If you would please, turn with me back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." God told parents to take these words that He had given to them, and He said, it's your responsibility to teach them to your children. Now, we've read that passage before, I'm sure. But do you see what it's saying? It's saying to parents, you are the means, God says, that I have of transmitting these ideas, these teachings from me to your children. You are the intermediaries. You are the ones who are the stewards of this information. Parents are God's representatives in this regard. Let's look at another passage in the Old Testament over in Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is the verse that we want to look at this evening. There the proverb writer says this, and again, this is a familiar passage to you. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Again, the passage is showing that it is the responsibility of parents to train a child in God's way. Parents who do that need to be honored for that. And parents, whether they completely do that or not, still deserve the honor because of the position that God has put them in. Let's continue as we looked last night. Let's look again in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Right after dealing with what children ought to do, which we read earlier, the Apostle Paul says to the fathers in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You see how these passages over and over show us the parents' role in explaining to children and showing children about God and about His Word. Children are in the position of revealing, or parents are in the position of revealing to children what God is like and what His law is like. One other passage that we'll look at in this regard is in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He says, "And that from childhood," speaking to Timothy, "you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The young preacher Timothy had been taught by his mother and his grandmother, and he had learned from the time of his youth about God. As we have seen in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3, this commandment of the Old Testament is reiterated, it is reinforced, and it is reemphasized in the New Testament. And so children indeed have a responsibility. They owe their parents obedience and honor. Well, why is this commandment given to children? You know, there's a point in our lives where our parents tell us to do something, and sometimes we ask why, and sometimes parents just say, "Because I said so." And I've said that, and I believe that's a good answer at certain stages in life. Children need to learn to do it because mom and dad said to do it. Because there's going to come a time when you look at the Word of God and you read what God had to say, and you say as an older person, why? And the answer is, because God said so. But there comes a point also in our lives where perhaps we're beginning to grow up enough that we can begin to answer that question for ourselves, not just be challenging our parents with the why question, but genuinely want to know what is behind such a commandment. And if we're not just challenging our parents or challenging God, then it is useful to look into the why issue. Well, I'll suggest why we ought to honor and obey our parents. First of all, believe it or not, as children, we are very seldom smarter or better than our parents. Now, there are very few of us that ever grew up that really believed that before we were 18 years old. But our parents have experienced a lot of things that we haven't experienced. This is something that is getting so many young people into trouble in this world. I could talk on this all night. I'm trying to think of a way that I can boil this down and make it simple. Have you ever heard an older person tell you, son or young lady, experience is the best teacher? That is the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. I've heard that over and over all the time that I was growing up. Experience is the best teacher. Experience is sometimes a powerful teacher, I'll grant you. But experience isn't necessarily the best teacher. Sometimes your parents, young people, tell you some things to avoid or some things to do. And you think, well, I'm going to go out and try myself. I'm going to see for myself. Young people, if your parents, either before they became Christians or maybe after, if they went out and violated God's law and committed fornication as young people, if one of them became pregnant before she was wed, if they had to get married at 16 or 17 years old, had to drop out of high school, had to go to work at a job that really doesn't support them, if they constantly had marital troubles because they started too young and they started off on the wrong foot, do you think you have to do all that to come to the same understanding they have? If mom and dad can sit down and tell you, here are the mistakes we made, don't do the same thing. If you'll listen to your parents, I guarantee you that will be a better teacher than experience will ever be. You'll learn the same lesson, but you don't have to learn it with the same pain and the same anguish that'll stick with you the rest of your life. So many young people know what God's law says. Knows what it says about the temptations that are familiar to all young people. And sometimes even young Christian people, they know they shouldn't do something, but they say to themselves, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and then I'll repent of it, and I'll live like I know I ought to, but for right now, I'm going to do what I want to do. The idea is that I can do it now and then repent of it and live right and everything will be as it ought to be. Because we understand that God says if we will truly repent, He'll forgive us. And I don't want to call that into question one iota. But that's not all of the story, my friends. You go out and do things that God has told you not to do, and even if you repent of it, you may live, you probably will live, the rest of your life with the consequences of what you've done. The young person that decides to do some drugs or to go out and do some drinking with the boys one night. Oh, you can repent of that. You can genuinely repent of that. And I guarantee you that God will erase it from your record and nothing will prevent you from going to heaven if you live faithfully the rest of your life. But if those drugs burn your mind out, burn your brain out, God isn't going to wipe that away. You're going to live with the consequences of that the rest of your life. And if you go out and get drunk and get into a car and drive down the highway and you go left of center because you're drunk and you hit a car load of people head on and you kill all of them and you come out of the wreck a paraplegic, God won't wipe all of that away in this lifetime. He'll forgive you if you truly repent. But for the rest of your life, you're going to know that you murdered a car load of people and you're going to have to live with that. And you're going to have to be in a wheelchair the rest of your life. God won't take that away. We reap what we sow. And repentance doesn't take that away. And forgiveness by God doesn't take that away. There are a lot of things that our parents can tell us that we don't have to learn from experience. And experience is not the best teacher. Experience is a powerful teacher. And some people won't listen to anything but experience. That's a hard way to live. You know, life is something that is singular. You get one of them. And there's not an old gray-headed or bald-headed person in this auditorium tonight that wouldn't tell you that if they had it to do all over again, there wouldn't be some things they'd change. Because they've experienced some things, they've done some things wrong, and if they had the chance to do it over again, they would. But we don't get that chance. You have one life to live. And if you try to live it all by experience, we go back to the passage, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. All you can get from birth to the grave by living by experience alone, but that is going to be a painful life. You need to listen to your parents, and you need to listen to God, because you can avoid so many of the pitfalls and so many of the troubles that your parents went through and that God doesn't want you to have to go through. You can learn other ways than by experience. We need to obey our parents also out of respect for the work and the benefits that we receive from them. They deserve honor for that. People teased me for a long time when I got ready to be married. They said, when you get married, you're going to have that big ball and chain on your foot. It's going to change your life. Said, you've been living out here by yourself as a bachelor, and now you're going to get married, and your life is going to change radically. And I was prepared for that. I believed what they said. But by and large, nothing changed that terribly radically. I just didn't have to drive to Dayton every night. But when we had children, my whole life was turned upside down. I'm not complaining. But when I was single, Danny'd call up and say, come over and we'll go play baseball. Karen would throw on her shoes and I'd throw on mine, and in 15 minutes we were over here, this school back over here, playing some baseball. Or somebody'd yell, let's go out to eat. They'd get on the phone and in 20 minutes we'd meet them at some restaurant and we'd go out to eat. We did pretty much what we wanted to do within the scope of our abilities and our financial resources. But along came little Joshua, and that all changed. I thought I was going to have to buy a trailer to go on the back of the car just to carry all the stuff around to take care of that little tyke. And then Karen kept having children, 2 and 3 and 4. To haul all this stuff around. George is grinning over there. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Whole set of circumstances in life was changed. Changed to this day. I used to put out a great big garden, as some of you know. Now I go to 3 baseball games a night. Chase one here, chase one there. Some of you know about that too. Turns your life complete. We have, our children have become to a large degree here on earth the center of an awful lot of our activity. We focus on them and try to give them what they need to grow up to be healthy young adults. Children, you need to respect and honor your parents for what they've done for you in that regard. I used to drive nice, big, luxury cars. Some of that's gone, by the way. I used to go to McDormand's in Xenia and have suits custom tailored for myself. Now I get them at JCPenney's when they put them on sale for $49.95. Because the kids need shoes. And the kids need this and the kids need that. That's okay. I'm not complaining. Don't misunderstand me. But children, your parents are going through those things too. And they deserve your honor and respect for what they've done and your obedience as well. You need to honor them because of the unselfishness that they have shown toward you. You know, it's just a general rule. Now, you can try to deny it if you want, but in a few years, you'll agree with me. As a general rule, parents have a lot more love for their children than children do for their parents. Think about that. Most children have to get about 30 years old before they start approaching the level of love for their parents that their parents have had for them. And we're not just talking about emotional feelings. We're talking about real love and concern for the well-being of the other. Sacrifices of parents rarely are appreciated or returned unless very late in life. But honor is due our parents also, not just because Dad and Mom said so, but because God said so. God said obey them, and there's a reason behind that. Well, what is the benefit to children from keeping this commandment? I believe there are many. First of all, respect for authority is established in keeping this commandment, this law. If you can learn how to obey your parents even when they don't seem to be making sense, if you can learn to obey your parents even when it's hard, you learn a principle that there are people in this world and that there's a God in heaven who has more authority than you do. I don't care how rotten your parents are or how good. You need to learn that principle. If your dad's a drunk and your mother's running all over town, you still need to obey your parents in the Lord. Not do things that are contrary to God's word, but you need to obey your parents in the Lord because you need to learn obedience to authority. The Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments. The Bible also says, honor thy father and mother, and children, obey your parents in the Lord. Those things run parallel, side by side. If you don't learn to do one, it's going to be a lot harder to learn to do the other. I'm not saying you can't learn to do the other, but it'd be very difficult. God teaches us everything that he teaches us about spiritual things by a physical pattern. You just go through your Bible, and every spiritual point that God tries to make to you, he does it through a physical pattern. And what I'm saying to you, that the spiritual point of our need to obey and honor and worship God, that's a spiritual truth, it's taught by a physical pattern, the honor and obedience that we give to our parents. We also benefit from this command by learning denial of self-will and self-pleasing. When someone doesn't learn that, we say they're spoiled. And we have a lot of spoiled children in this world today. And a lot of us, because we've grown more affluent economically, have given our children and given our children and given our children because we can afford to do it financially. But I suggest to you, sometimes, even when we've got the money, we ought to keep it in our pocket. Because children need to learn self-denial and not always to believe they have to have everything that they want. Now, first reaction of children to that is, well, that sounds like some old person's idea. Well, what happens if you don't learn that lesson? You grow up and you get away from mom and dad, and you go out here into the world believing everybody owes you a living. And this United States of America is full of people like that. Won't pick up a stick for themselves, but they think they're owed things. And our government says they're owed things. They say they are entitled to it. And so we have, I don't know, umpteen entitlement programs. And you can be the laziest bum on the earth and you won't go hungry in this country because you are entitled. But you look at the people living on entitlements, and I don't call that living myself. You need to learn from your parents self-denial. And when your parents tell you to do something that you don't want to do, it's hard. I know that. I'm not stupid. But you learn something. You learn how to live without something. And you find out you survive. And you find out you can be better as a result of it. But obeying our parents also guards us against the excesses to which we are prone when we're young. What excesses? Well, all these old people in here, they know what excesses. They remember. They don't tell you much about it because they just assume you not know mom and dad did all that stuff. But as we're young people, we tend to, as we get our freedom, as we begin to get to drive, when we begin to get out on our own, a lot of times we take those newfound freedoms and we push them just a little bit too far, sometimes way too far. If we'll listen to our parents and obey our parents, we can be restrained from that. Maybe be restrained when inside of us there's no restraint, but we're restrained by what mom and dad have to say. You know, I remember a number of times when Friday and Saturday night rolled around and the guys came by and we all got into cars and we went out and we were contemplating doing a variety of things, and a lot of suggestions came up, and I was about ready to do them, and I thought, man, if I got caught at that, what would that do to my mom and dad? And so I didn't do them. And boy, am I glad I didn't do them. Didn't seem like a big deal back then as far as I was concerned, but I knew how my parents would feel about it. And I knew if I got caught anyway, the devastation that it would bring to them. And since I've become a preacher, I've dealt with a number of parents whose children went ahead and did things. And I have seen up close the heartache that those parents have over the failure of their children. Listening to our parents can guard us against some of those excesses that we're prone to. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Flee youthful lust." Sometimes we need help to do that, and our parents are there to help us. There's a temptation when we're young to focus only on the present. Sometimes our parents tell us to save our money. Sometimes our parents tell us you need to think about this out in the future. You need to think about that. And all we sometimes can think of when we're young is the here and now, this moment. What can I do right now that will be fun, that will be satisfying? If a person develops a pattern of living like that, living for just what is right here and now, you've got a person that will never obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never. If they don't learn differently. Because we live a life here upon this earth in obedience to God's will, in the hope of heaven sometime off in the future. And people that live just for the here and now with no consideration of all of eternity in the future, they live just to satisfy their own lust and desires. And many of them learned that principle by ignoring what their parents had said and refusing to do what their parents said and just doing what they wanted to do to satisfy themselves right now. Obedience to our parents can teach us better. Obeying our parents and honoring our parents can help us to avoid temptations that arise to try things which are sinful, harmful, and happiness destroying. We talked a little bit about the sexuality thing earlier. So many young people cannot understand why all of our parents and all of those older people, they're involved in those things and they say there's nothing wrong with it, but they tell me I can't do it. Well, you know, part of the issue is that they know more about that than you do. Sometimes as young people, we look at human sexuality as just simply a physical gratification, and we think that's what it's all about. But our parents know that there are a lot deeper issues involved, and that when you get involved in a relationship like that, there are emotional, social, and spiritual things that come into play that will forever change your outlook on human sexuality. And there are young people that do things in the backseat of a car or at some motel someplace that forever deny them the possibility of the fullest enjoyment of human sexuality. Because such cannot be shared with a whole lot of people and still be what God designed it to be. You are going to rob yourself of something. And parents know that. If you'll listen to your parents and avoid temptations like that, you can avoid so much that's harmful, and your life can be so much happier. If you listen to what your parents say about alcohol and drugs, you can avoid so much misery. In the generation in which I was growing up as a young person, there were reports virtually every day of people that were on hallucinogenic drugs, jumping off of buildings and trying to fly through the air and all sorts of things. Just a lot of my generation's lost. I go through my 1969 high school yearbook. You know, there's 20 or 30 people that are dead. There were about 20 of them dead within the first decade after I left high school, and many of them from drug overdoses. When I was a police reporter at a newspaper, I used to go out and I used to be there when they'd find some of them. I remember one fellow that I went to school with, he had an argument with his girlfriend, and he went out and took some drugs and climbed up in a great big oak tree and tied a yellow ribbon up in there about 50 feet up and jumped. Broke his neck, and he laid in the field in August for about a week before anybody found him. His life came to an abrupt end at about 25, 26 years old. Alcohol and drugs and not listening to what he'd been taught. And we can avoid many of the excesses and things which in and of themselves are not bad, but just when taken to excess, they become bad if we'll listen to our parents. Listening to our parents, obeying our parents, honoring our parents prepares us for a lifetime of submission to the will of God. If we can learn to submit to our parents, who are flawed, who make mistakes, who sometimes may not even be good, if we can learn to submit to them, then we can learn to submit to a God in heaven who does nothing but love us and care about us. That is the biggest and the strongest lesson, the greatest thing that we can draw out of this commandment to obey and honor our parents. Parental honor is at the root of worship. Parents are the only God figures that children have until they reach a certain age. Until a child is maybe as much as 10 years old, to those children, mom and dad are the most powerful, all-knowing creatures in that child's universe. Again, we're going to talk about parents some tomorrow. You need to understand that when you're raising children. To your children, you are virtually God to them. I don't mean that in reality, but I mean to a child's mind. You are the all-powerful figure in their mind. I think I've told you before, when I was a little fella, Dad and one of his brothers were putting some things away in a barn, and my uncle told me to jump out of the second story. That was Bill. And Dad said it'd be all right, so I jumped, and he caught me. Man, I'd never do that today. Of course, Bill wouldn't either now. But I had trust. I believed whatever they said. To a child, a parent is a godlike figure. And to a large degree, as we raise especially little children, we need as parents to appreciate that role that God has given us. And as children, we need to honor our parents because of their role in showing us through their love and concern for us what God's love and concern is like. It is no oddity. It is no mistake that God is represented to us in the Scriptures as a loving Father, and that our role in the body of Christ is as children of God. We learn that spiritual relationship again by understanding the human relationship. This is the first of the Ten Commandments, the Bible says, with a promise attached to it. Back in Exodus 20, it said that you needed to honor your father and mother so that you might live longer and enjoy the land of promise that God was going to give them. Because this enjoying the land that was to be given to them was contingent upon keeping the law of God. And keeping the law of God was contingent upon listening and honoring your mother and father, because mom and dad were to teach you the law of God in the morning when they got up, and when they sat down to eat, and when they went to bed at night. You see the connection? In the New Testament, we don't have a physical land of promise here in this world, but the same idea is connected in a spiritual sense. When we obey and honor our parents, we also have the promise of living longer. Maybe not a physical life, although I believe that even that is true in many cases. I told you about all those kids that I went to school with that are dead because they didn't obey God's law. They didn't die from old age. They didn't die from accidents. They died from disobeying God's law and paying the price for it. So sometimes we, even today, live longer by obeying our parents. But even then we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of eternal life if we obey and honor God and learn to do so through honoring our parents. Well, how do we honor our parents? Let me suggest to you that we do so much the same way that we honor and worship God. Leviticus 19 and verse 3 says that we are to fear or revere our mothers and fathers. And then we are commanded in worship to love, honor, and respect our God. I want to suggest to you that we really cannot understand fully the idea of worshiping God and giving honor to Him unless we have learned in the incubator of the home to love and honor and respect our parents. That's where you learn it. That's where you get the idea of how a father ought to be treated. That's where you get the idea of what a father in heaven is all about. You don't just get it as falling out of heaven. There has to be a pattern that teaches that to you. And that's mom and dad in the home. And so we honor them much the same way that we do God. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love mom and dad? Oh, kids always say that. Do you do what they say? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to suggest to you that there's a link between those. If you're going to honor and love mom and dad, you need to keep their commandments. Obey them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, Colossians 3 and verse 20. We don't always understand why our parents or God is telling us to do something. Young people, do sometimes your parents tell you stuff that just doesn't seem to make sense? Mine did. Didn't make any sense to me. Sometime. You know, sometimes people say that about baptism. Didn't make any sense to me. I can't understand why you got to be immersed in water. Fellow back in the Old Testament, Naaman, that was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan River to be cleansed of leprosy. Didn't make any sense at all to him. He said, at least I could go up and get me some clean water up in the Pharpar or the Abana. Didn't make any sense to him. That's true sometimes with our parents. But we are learning
By obeying our parents, even when we don't understand why they're commanding us to do something, we are learning how to obey God even when we don't understand Him. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't always have to understand. A person is never going to be able to serve God properly without that factor ingrained in them. We do what God tells us to, whether we understand why or not. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we learn that from our parents and obeying them. It is the history of God to use some of the frailest, most unlikely characters in the world to accomplish His ends. And that includes parents. You have people like the judges of the Old Testament. Samson, he was strong, but he was a woman chaser. You have people like Deborah, a woman who became a judge of Israel. You have Ehud, who was left-handed and viewed in that day as handicapped. You had Othniel, who was a Kenite. He wasn't even an Israelite. God picked out all sorts of strange people to do His will. God picks out David, a kid, to go out and slay Goliath. And then He picks your parents. Some of you think, why did He pick them to teach me these things? Well, same reason He picked some of those other people. God doesn't necessarily pick people out and give them authority and give them a role because they're the greatest people in the world to do the job. He does it because when it is accomplished through them, the glory accrues to Him and not to men. And so God uses frail, faulty, mistake-making earthen vessels to teach us our lessons. And sometimes that includes our parents. And that is why children must obey their parents, even parents who do not always make the perfect choices. We also need to honor our parents in another way, and that is by taking and caring for them when they become older. If you would please turn your attention with me to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15 and verses 1 through 9, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." But He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple,' is released from honoring his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Jesus wasn't talking to a bunch of children that were still in their parents' home. He was talking to grown Pharisees who were trying to get around the responsibility of honoring their fathers and mothers. I want you to see in this that our duty to honor father and mother is nowhere restricted in the Scriptures to the period of time that we live in the household with them. Our duty to honor our parents doesn't end at age 15. It doesn't end at age 18 or 21 or 40 or 50 if our parents are still living. It does not end when we get married and move out of the house. Now I know that our duty to obey our parents is somewhat changed when we leave father and mother and cleave to our wife or our husband. I recognize changes take place there. But our duty to honor them does not end when we leave the household. You know, our parents usually deserve being honored for their love and teaching and sacrifices for our benefit. God always deserves this kind of reverence and respect. And again, we learn how to worship God in the right way by learning it through honoring and obeying our parents. We learn respect for God's authority, that is, God's laws and man's laws, through honoring and obeying our parents. this commandment, this one of the five,
and it is repeated in the New Testament, but in the Ten Commandment law, it is the commandment that links the obedience to God with our duty toward our fellow man. And the linkage needs to be made. Jesus taught us if we're going to love God, we need to love our fellow man. And somehow that link between loving God and loving men has to be made. And again, I believe that it is made in our obedience to our parents and our honoring of them. This command trains us in self-control, patience, and the fundamentals of submission to the will of God. It protects us from harm and all sorts of things and trains us for the future responsibility of being parents and teachers ourselves. We were talking a little bit over at the Colliers tonight. Jessie was talking. She said sometimes she starts to hear herself saying things just like her mom and dad. And it happens. One of these days, you are going to be parents as well, more than likely. And you need to listen to what your parents have to say to prepare you for that day as well. Now, finally, when mom and dad said to tell the little girl that you hit in the head, that you're sorry, you didn't think much about that. When mom and dad said to get a bath and clean up all over behind your ears and get your fingernails clean, you thought they were just writing. But let me suggest to you that they were imitating the Lord when they taught you those basic and fundamental things, whether they knew it or not. Because God has told us to repent and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mom and dad said, go tell that little girl you're sorry. You need to repent. And mom and dad said, go clean up all over. You're filthy. And God said, be baptized and wash away your sins. If you can't learn to go tell the little girl you're sorry, just like mom said, if you can't obey mom and dad and go wash behind your ears and all over, then you are never going to understand the necessity of repenting of your sins and being baptized to wash away your sins. You see, the one is the physical pattern of the spiritual teaching. Solomon urged the young in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 to remember your Creator in the day of your youth. We have a great need in the body of Christ for that. All over this nation, congregations are struggling to find men qualified to be elders. And one of the primary reasons is because too many young people have messed up their lives in their youth and have set the stage for a way of life and situations in their lives that preclude them from serving as elders in the body of Christ. Too many have started too late in their service to God to ever be able to achieve the qualifications needed to guide the body of Christ here upon this earth. We need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We do that first and foremost and in the beginning by learning to honor father and mother. When young people heed this admonition, they lay a foundation for happier living here on earth. I'm not saying everything will be smooth for you, because it won't be. But I can tell you from the teaching of the Scripture and from the teaching of experience that your life can be so much easier and so much happier doing it God's way than doing it your way. Maybe by the time you're 40 or 50 after doing it your way, maybe you'll learn the same lesson that you could have learned at 16 years old. You can be as smart at 16 as some people are at 70 if you'll listen to your parents and if you'll listen to God at the same time. And more importantly than all of that here on this earth, you can lay a foundation for living in heaven with God throughout all of eternity. You can be a servant of God from the earliest years of your life. Well, I'm going to ask a question this evening. Is there anyone here this evening who would like to become a child of God? If so, what you need to do is what we've been talking about all night in regard to parents. You just need to obey and honor your Lord by coming forward, confessing your faith,
repenting of your sins and allowing us to baptize you for the remission of your sins. And we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.